The DDC continues. Elton John tickets on the line. October the 2nd. We have stumped some people. We have stumped some people.
I can't believe this.
On the backup quarterback to Steve McNair, Derek Mason's rookie year, 1997. We're on the verge of training camp. This would be Tennessee State University.
TSU.
At the hole. Hale Stadium. Oh. Great place. But, man, it was hot. I was there. In fact, they put up a tent. And, man, we were thankful for that tent, watching you guys practice. 1997.
And this guy was very instrumental, along with, you know, subsequently after that, Neil O'Donnell. But this guy was very instrumental in my growth as a young player. He truly was. He was always encouraging me, and he made it his business to look for me whenever we were in a huddle together and was, you know, whether it be scout team passes or going through our offense.
The DDC is presented by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. This is your chance to win Elton John. We've got callers patiently waiting. Derek mentioned Neil O'Donnell. Do not guess him. Also, do not guess Chris Chandler. Yeah, he's been guessed twice. I felt bad for the second guy. He didn't hear the first guy guess him. Do not guess Warren Moon. That's also incorrect. It is a veteran quarterback, though. 737-1025. Let's go to John. He is next up. John, you've got a crack at this thing.
Yeah, I believe it's David Krieg.
David Krieg.
I mean, we could be like Jeopardy and say, or Wheel of Fortune would be like, ah. So it is your call.
I'm going to give it to you. Dave Craig is the name of it. It does look like Krieg on the back of his jersey. It's spelled that way.
But see, if we were
which
on the Wheel of Fortune.
Which makes me wonder if he knew this or did he kind of look.
Okay. I mean, hey, you got to do what you got to do. But if we were on the Wheel of Fortune, they would have said, ah.
They had the game show host. He would have looked over to the person you can't see on camera and said, judges, what do you think?
Nope.
And they would have like, ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, but we give it to him.
All right, we'll give it to you. Yes, Dave Craig is the answer. He was 39 when he got to the Oilers. Chris Chandler was not very supportive, apparently. And, of course, this is before I covered the team. But the last year in Houston. And, by the way, we'll put you on hold, and you've won the tickets to Elton John. Congratulations. We will
awesome.
Do more giveaways.
Thank you.
Yeah, great job. Dave Craig is the answer. So we got him. Well, actually, he's still out. We just need to put him on hold there, Nick. There you go. Oop, we'll get him in there. Get the information so we can get him the tickets. Chris Chandler was not very supportive of Steve McNair. They moved him to the Atlanta Falcons.
Yes.
Where he did lead them to the Super Bowl a couple years later. So he still had something left in the tank. I think he was kind of upset. He knew Steve McNair being the third pick in the draft was eventually going to be the starter. He felt like, look, I still want to start. He started for the team. They let Steve McNair sit and learn, but they didn't think he was a great mentor. Remember that whole thing about the mentoring with Malik Willis? So now, how do you figure into this there when they traded Chris Chandler? Is that the draft pick they used to get you?
That was the draft pick they used to draft me in a fourth round.
In the fourth round. So they got a fourth round pick.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That part I didn't know. To Atlanta.
Right.
And then Oilers got Atlanta's fourth round pick. Actually, we drafted, I think I was the first of two draft picks in the fourth round, I believe, by the Oilers. I'm trying to figure out who the second pick was. Who was the second pick in the fourth round? It was a defensive player. It was.
The rookie class.
Yeah, that was that rookie class, and subsequently the class after that with Samari and Kevin. Javon
was
99. Yeah. So that 3-year window is how the late Floyd Reese and Jeff Fisher built the team with those three
good classes.
Years that were good, solid classes, along with obviously Eddie's class and Steve's class.
So they turned the reins over to Steve McNair after he had sat, and they needed somebody to come in and understand he was going to be the backup. So Dave Craig had played for years and years as the starter in Seattle. And so if you grew up when I did, you watched Dave Craig hook up with Steve Largent
yes.
all day long. They had some very good teams. Then he went on to Kansas City for a couple years. He went to Detroit. He went to Arizona. He started making the rounds. He actually started a full season for Arizona 1 year, and even had started for the Bears the year before he got to the Tennessee Oilers. He never started a game. He did come in from time to time. And I always thought he had an interesting personality. He was kind of out there a little bit. He had seen everything. But you said he was very helpful for you.
Yeah, Neil. I mean, not Neil. Well, Neil as well.
And of course, Neil O'Donnell came in 99.
A few years, yeah.
He was a little bit younger and more. He was available to become the backup. And he came in very handy, of course, in that Super Bowl season. He started a bunch of games. But yeah, in between, it was Dave Craig.
Dave was one of those guys that, because he had been in the game for such a long time, he had success in the National Football League. He and Steve Largent was one of the best 1-2 combos in the league at that particular time. So he understood the game. He understood, you know, what it took. He knew that he was past his days of starting, but he could be a backup and a mentor moving forward, not just for the quarterback room, but for everyone else as well on offense. And I'm sure, you know, his years in the NFL and him seeing wide receivers, that's why he sort of took a liking to me and pushed me and talked with me during practice, after practice, in regards to how to play in the NFL, what to do, how to get in and out of routes, how to find the soft spots in defenses. That was a good time for me as a rookie, because I was never going to get the time with Steve that I would need because I wasn't a starter.
Yeah.
But I was getting time with a guy that had played as a starter for a long time in the National Football League. So that was very
38,000 yards.
That was valuable to me as a young guy. And then after that, I had Neil O'Donnell. So I went from one really good veteran guy to another veteran guy that led a team to a Super Bowl. So I was in a win-win situation as a receiver. You know, not only are you going to be paired with Steve McNair, but you're learning from two guys that has success in the football, in the National Football League.
Dave Craig, good backup, 98 and 77 as a starter before he got to Tennessee. And that was a valuable guy. So good trivia. Elton John tickets are given away. Get that training camp flavor going. Of course, tomorrow you'll hear from Mike Vrabel, you'll hear from John Robinson, and we'll get things cranked up. Stay tuned. We're just getting started here this hour. Got another training camp topic to throw at D-Mace here coming up on the other side. Stay tuned. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3 The Game, and, of course, The Game Nashville app. All right. We have transitioned from trivia today, but boy, we had a great response to that. Maybe it was just the great Elton John. I was hoping it would be from my trivia.
Well, I think two things
that was a good question,
coexist
though, right?
At the
that
same
time. Yeah,
I mean, it's because of your question and Elton John.
All right. I do have to know, TR, is the Zoom camera back on? Do we have our in camera? Okay, we're good. And it's a good thing, too. It fell off of the window, so we had a problem.
Was
it's
not
been
me.
Fixed.
Was not me at all. Never no, tapped the window or anything.
No, we're not going to blame you. But here's the other thing, Derek. You have tidied up the studio.
Yes.
I thought you showed a lot of class. I was very disheveled. We had headphones all over the place. We had old media guys. We had scrap sheets of paper. And you just decided to... You took the initiative.
Yeah, man.
You jumped in.
I got to treat it like my house.
Yeah.
What do they say in situations? Leave it better than what you found it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I'm trying to do, man.
The late, great Don Meyer always pick up trash. And anybody who ever played for Don Meyer, you see them walk by and there's a scrap sheet of paper or something, they'll pick up the trash and throw it in the garbage. Good little thing to think about. I always think of him when something like that happens. So good job. You rearranged the bobbleheads as well. We're still in... What formation are we in? Are we still in the football formation?
No, we're more so in the rugby formation
right
now.
We're more in a rugby formation.
Yeah, more of a rugby formation.
A series of laterals are coming. Yeah. But
or we can be in sort of the superhero formation, like
The Super Friends, yeah.
They're
the Justice League.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have a little pathway they can come at you. Yeah, exactly. That's good. All right, so if you're watching on Twitch, Twitter, Facebook Live, all that, you can see the great display and the cleanliness of one Derek Mason. All right, D-Mace, here's the next training camp topic for you. All right, I'm going to branch out from the Titans and give you a couple NFL ones that I've been thinking about. All right, and I've been reading about, and we're going to see what you think. Bills, great offense, right? New offensive coordinator. What has been the rap on the Bills? Not much of a running game, right?
Yep.
We all think back. Now, obviously, they were very, very close to busting through and maybe being the best team in the AFC. They got Josh Allen. They relied heavily on him. You could argue at times their best way of running the ball was actually just having him run it. Here are their running backs now. Devin Singletary.
Who led them in rushing last year.
Zach Moss, who is more of a specialist, pass catcher, in and out. He's a rookie last year. And they have drafted
kid out of Georgia.
James Cook out of Georgia, second round pick. Now, I was reading ESPN had a little training camp battle thing, and each beat writer picked a training camp battle. And the training camp battle was right here at running back. And the writer, and I forget the name of the writer for the Bills for ESPN, but he said, look for James Cook to emerge as a star out of training camp. That's the bold prediction he made. So I guess it comes down to this. Look, we watched James Cook for Georgia. You don't know how it's going to translate necessarily for the pros. But what I think it also says as much as, what do you think of Devin Singletary as a runner? Do you think that he will lose time to James Cook, or do you think he can take a step forward there? Because one way or the other, the Bills would like to be able to run the ball better.
Yeah, and I think because he didn't have a bad season, Singletary. But, you know, when you are the featured back in an explosive offense, you would expect over 1,000 yards. Now, he had 870 yards, 4.6 yards a carry, which 4.6 yards a carry is wonderful for a guy over, you know, almost 200 attempts. But here's the thing. Here's the reason why I think they drafted a kid out of Georgia. He only averaged 50 yards per game. So,
and in college?
No. I'm talking about Devin Singletary. Okay. Yeah, he only averaged 50 yards per game. Well, contrast that with Josh Allen. Guess how many yards he averaged per game rushing?
Was it over 50?
No, it was 44.
It's close.
Yeah, it's close.
Yeah.
So you got your starting running back and your starting quarterback, and both of them are pretty much even when it comes to running a football. Listen, the Buffalo Bills understand, this is what they understand. We are not going to win a championship if we have to rely on Josh Allen to be our number two runner. We're just not. Because what? It opens you up to injury. You know, opens you up to big hits. We need to go out and we need to get ourselves another running back, which in turn they went out and did. And I'm not saying that, you know, Singletary will lose his starting job. We don't know. But they went out and drafted James Cook in the second round for a reason. 31st pick, which means he was at the top. Well, yeah, at the top of the second round.
Yes.
So they went and got him for a reason. I think the reason is because they're going to use these two running backs, Singletary and James. They're going to use Cook. They're going to use them complementary running backs. They want to take the pressure off of Josh Allen at running the football. I think this has more so to do with Josh Allen than it does to do with Singletary. Even though, I mean, if Singletary was a 1,100-yard rusher, 1,200-yard rusher, there's a possibility they would not have to have gone and drafted James Cook. But because he wasn't, and combined, Singletary and Allen was almost, what, 1,500 yards? A little bit over 1,500 yards? Well, they want that 1,500 yards, but they don't want Josh Allen to have, you know, the bulk of it, you know? So they go out and they draft the young guy, and hopefully this young guy can take those numbers that Josh Allen had and make those his numbers and probably even better, because they know they're going to win a championship by Josh Allen throwing the football.
No question about it. So that's something to look for. James Cook, does he take some carries away from Devin Singletary? And if you had Zach Moss on your fantasy team last year, where does that leave him? So that's something to watch, a training camp battle. Next training camp battle. We know here in Tennessee for the Titans, they've got two spots on the offensive line that there's going to be a pretty heavy competition. We're going to save that for another day because we'll be watching that every day. This is what I am curious about. They mentioned the Colts in the training camp battles on ESPN. Their third-round pick, Bernard Raymond, is in a competition for the left tackle position. One of the guys he's competing with, and this is what I had forgotten, Dennis Kelly is in the mix. So there's more than there's a couple other veterans in there as well. But the Colts need a new left tackle. That's a huge position, as we all know. So we also know Dennis Kelly really well. Remember the debate we had way back when the Titans traded for Dennis Kelly? We're like, who's Dennis Kelly? They traded Dorial Green-Beckham.
Yeah, Dorial Green-Beckham to the Eagles.
Great physical talent, never could put it all together. And we debated, well, is this going to burn the Titans big time? Because who in the world is Dennis Kelly? Dennis Kelly ended up being a really good, solid player. So I'm not sure what he's got left. But I've never really, especially at this stage of his career, if Dennis Kelly wins that job, to me, that's a, it's no offense to him because he's a great pro, but left tackle at this stage of his career, that would say something. And you're also hoping that a third-round pick is your left tackle from the get-go. So issues at left tackle for the Colts is what, what I'm thinking.
Well, they're going to have to do something because you go out and get Matt Ryan. You have Jonathan Taylor in the backfield, who many believe has, at least last season, has jumped Derrick Henry for the best back in the NFL. You know, they are slowly putting together pieces on the outside to complement what Jonathan Taylor can do. This is a team that at one point in time, they had one of the best offensive lines in the National Football League, you know? And now that is not the case. You don't want to end up in a situation that, you know, that you were in, what, three seasons ago, where your quarterback retired because he got hit so much because the line wasn't good. You don't want to be in that position with Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan's an older quarterback. He needs to be protected. Jonathan Taylor, he needs to have those holes. So they need to figure out who's going to be this left tackle. And not just for their sake. Listen, they have to go against probably a top three defensive line in the Tennessee Titans.
Oh, yes. And we're going to get to that group, you know, later this week, too, because that is a something, too, to watch, is how they match up. How do the Colts and Titans match up? New left tackle against whoever they're going against, that front four, that's an advantage to the Titans, even though the Colts have had a very good offensive line as a whole the last few years. But trying to replace the left tackle is never easy. All right, last one for today, training camp battle. Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield. Now, the writer for the – and I should have wrote down the writers here as I'm saying this. This is not cool to do this. This is the Teron Davenport for ESPN who covers the Carolina Panthers. The case he made was
– is it David Newton?
Is he related to Cam Newton? I guess I don't know.
But, he doesn't look like Cam Newton, but okay. He could be. You never know.
But here he makes a case that Sam Darnold – will be the opening day starter because, A, the pressure is off. B, he actually knows the offense. They still have the same offense, same offense coordinator. And C, Baker Mayfield is still coming off surgery for a torn labrum 6 months ago, and he is new to the system. So I guess I hadn't thought about it that extensively, but when he lays all that out, it makes sense that Sam Darnold should have the inside track to win that opening day starter job. Do you agree? Or does it look bad on them to go to the trouble of acquiring Mayfield if he's not going to start?
I think Sam Darnold, to me, because you look at the numbers, and I don't know how many games Baker played, if he played all 17 games last year or not. I
he
know
played
he
some that he probably shouldn't have played.
I think he was playing through injury
last year.
He threw over 3,000 yards, 17 touchdowns, but he did have 13 interceptions. Well, Sam Darnold, who I don't believe was dealing with injuries, he only started 12 games. He threw for 2,500 yards, 9 touchdowns, and 13 interceptions.
Not good.
Neither was great. But I think moving forward, I do agree with the writer that Sam Darnold, there's a high probability Sam Darnold is the starter for game one. That's because Baker needs to pick up the offense. But if Baker shows that he can pick up this offense and be ready to go, Baker Mayfield gives them the best opportunity to win. I know people hate Baker. For what reason, I do not know. But this kid is a really good quarterback. He's one of the best 32 quarterbacks in the National Football League. I tell you that. To me. He's proven. He took a franchise that was in a garbage can, and he led him to the playoffs.
Yes, he did.
He made Cleveland relevant again because of his play, his moxie, everything else. People hate him maybe because of the moxie and what happened, you know, with the whole Deshaun Watson. But I don't blame him with the Deshaun Watson situation.
Sure.
You know,
and he was going to be gone well before they
even
did that.
They just want people to sit back and just don't say anything. No. Express how you feel and say, hey, can I get a trade? And that's what he did. So I think eventually Baker will be the starting quarterback. Maybe not the first game, but I think he'll end up the starting quarterback.
So Darnold with a head start, we think Baker will catch up. All right, good stuff. Training camp battles. We'll have more training camp questions for D-Mace throughout the week here. Stay tuned. We're coming back with more. In fact, we got Jim on the line who wants to talk about Mark Howard here. We will take his call on the other side. Stay tuned. You're listening to the DDC here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app. Continuing on the DDC, you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook Live. Every day, our video streaming is brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you. We're going to have some tickets to Three Ice coming up to give away in the 1 o'clock hour, so be ready for that. The Three Ice, we're going to tell you about that. Traveling hockey show, which is really entertainment, exciting. We'll tell you more about it in the coming weeks as we get closer to the date. But we'll give away some tickets a little bit later. Also, we want to take your phone calls, your texts, 615-737-1025. Jump on in. If you've got training camp questions for Derek, fire away. We would love to hear from you, and we will relay those questions. You've got, you know, things that you hear on the show you want to weigh in on. Go ahead, jump on in there. So, in fact, Sean in Murfreesboro. Mm-hmm. Baker Mayfield better than Ryan Tannehill? It's interesting. We're going to get to Mike Sando and his annual quarterback tiers, which I think is the best quarterback tier research project that he does. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people put out quarterback tiers, right? But he really does the research. It's 50 NFL people, coaches, coordinators, GMs, they vote, and Mike Sando puts it all together. We're going to get to that later in the week. We might get to it tomorrow. But Baker Mayfield and Ryan Tannehill will easily be compared. Because Mayfield's been out there for anybody to get. We know that the salary cap price for Ryan Tannehill made it almost, and we were saying this from the get-go, $38 million. It was going to be really hard to get out of that, even if you wanted to make a change, which they didn't. But just take the cap figure away. How would you rate those two quarterbacks?
I think Baker has his upside is better because obviously Baker's younger, and Baker has all of the tools that you need to play that position at a high level. He just hadn't put everything together, and maybe, just maybe, this is sort of that wake up call, like, you know, what did they say? The pride comes before the fall. It's like, okay, you've been this guy for the longest, and it's almost like you've pumped up your chest, and you know, the NFL guys just needed to kind of, hey, let me knock you down a little bit, you know, let you go over here and stew for a while, trade, get you on another team, and get back to what made you that Heisman Trophy winning quarterback at Oklahoma. So I think I truly believe Baker's second stop will be better than his first there in Cleveland, because now hopefully he understands and realizes, listen, it's a privilege to play in the NFL, period, but it's a privilege to be a quarterback and to lead and guide a team in the National Football League. And maybe, just maybe, in Cleveland, because of what he had been through, you know, winning a Heisman and everything else, he didn't probably see it like that. But that's, in actuality, that's what it is.
And Mayfield is still, he's quite a bit younger than Tannehill. So I think that's what Carolina's hoping for. New situation, new fresh start, still a lot to learn about the game. Maybe in a different system, he does better. Let's see. All right, 737-1025, if you want to text or call questions in, training camp questions to D-Mace. You can go Titan-specific, or you can branch out on anything else. But in the meantime, let me take this call from Jim. I know he's been waiting for a while. We were so saddened over the weekend to hear about the loss of Mark Howard, who passed away at age 65, a longtime colleague of ours, and going way back to his days at News Channel 5 and then the sports talk industry. He did some stuff for us in the last couple of years, a long time at 104.5, where he and I worked together for years and years. Let me get to Jim. Jim, welcome into the show. You're on 102.5 The Game.
Yeah, I just wanted to say when I came to Tennessee in 2005, I started listening and watching Mark on the Predators broadcast, and I really think he takes his place, Willie, with you and Darren and Pete and Terry as ambassadors that really built the Predators and built the fan base and got people interested in his enthusiasm, his courtesy. I always liked listening to him. I know he's a Yankees fan. He had just encyclopedic knowledge, like we've said, on all these other sports. But I was mostly a baseball fan and then a Predators fan. But I just think he was really good. I was glad when he came to your station a little bit. And he just was a great guy. And I think the Predators, they probably will honor him next year.
Yeah, I'm sure the wheels are turning over there. I heard from a lot of Predators people. You may have heard Jerry Helper weigh in this morning.
No, I missed.
It was
that.
Really good. It was in the final hour of the program. If you want to go back and listen to our podcast, I'm sure you can hear that. And Jim, also George Plaster is going to join us. He was very, very close with Mark Howard. He's going to join us at 1 o'clock. But Jim, your words are appreciated, and we are going to miss Mark for sure.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks for the call. So tune in at 1 o'clock. George is going to talk to us, and boy, it might get a little bit emotional, I have to say, because I talked to George yesterday when he was the one that informed me about the news that we lost Mark. So that was tough. So that'll be at 1 o'clock. 615-737-1025. Wes in Clarksville texts this about Mayfield. I think Baker is another Josh Allen. Browns were holding him back.
Well, you can say that. look what happened with OBJ when he went to the Rams.
Yeah.
You know, his numbers, you know, pops out, and he wins a Super Bowl with the Rams. So I wouldn't, you know, knock that theory down at all, because as we know, the Cleveland Browns, as much as I love their fan base, you know, as a visiting guy, that organization hadn't been stellar, you know, the last, 15 years, 20 years, probably even go back further.
It's been lean. It's been lean.
Exactly.
Remember, they came back. The Browns came back to the league after leaving for Baltimore.
Exactly.
So there was a gap there of, 5 years or so. And then in 99, they returned. So it was one of the first games that the Titans played when they turned into the Titans. They played Tim Couch and the Browns. And, you know, that they were literally an expansion team. So they had to start over. So during that time, I think they've only been to the playoffs. We still talk about
twice
until Baker Mayfield had the win.
Took him, and then Baker took him.
Yeah. So Kelly Holcomb had the great game against the Steelers that the defense squandered. Mm-hmm. Kelly threw for over 400 yards.
Yeah, what, four or five touchdowns that I gave?
That was 2002 season. Mm-hmm. And then until then,
nothing.
And then they had the great resurgent season that Mayfield, they beat Pittsburgh in the playoffs. They vanquished a lot. Took Kansas City pretty deep into the woods, right? That was close. And remember, I think it was Mahomes got banged up. And who was Chad Henne?
I remember Chad Henne got had the first to come down off. Running. Yeah.
It was getting a little hairy there for the Chiefs there. The Browns almost pulled it off. So that does put into perspective that Mayfield brings something to the table. But the question is, if he's healthy, what can they put around him? Mm-hmm. It's going to be a story to really watch, because at the same time, you're going to watch what happens to the Browns.
Yeah.
With Deshaun Watson, and we're still waiting for the other shoe to drop on that one.
As far as his suspension, how long it will be. And
everybody's saying a year, and then remember the appeals process, you're appealing to Roger Goodell.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't, you know, in some circles, an appeal would give you a good chance to reduce, but when you're appealing to the commissioner, I would say the chances aren't quite as good at getting reduced. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Still waiting for that. We've been waiting that for a long time. What the actual ruling will be,
we don't know. I think a season, that's what many are throwing out there. I don't think it will be a full season. I think it will be, you know, more like 8-9 games. And if it's 8 or 9 games, I don't think they appeal it. I think the Cleveland Browns, listen, let's just get this over with, move past it, and go from there. But I think if it's a full year, then I think they will appeal.
Yep, still waiting to hear what that will be. Stay tuned. When we come back, we'll wrap up this hour. George coming up at 1 o'clock. We got a lot of training camp flavor for you today. Stay tuned. You're listening to 102.5 The Game, 106.3 and The Game Nashville app. .5 and 106.3 The Game, bringing you Nashville's best coverage of Titans training camp, presented by USA Hemp Store and Parman Energy, your one-stop petroleum solution. Willie Donegan, Derek Mason here with you today, counting down to the beginning of Titans training camp, and that is tomorrow. You'll hear from Mike Vrabel and John Robinson. We'll carry those press conferences for you. You can always weigh in on our phone or text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Just taking questions for D-Mace on it. We're going to switch gears here in just a minute, but let me get to Mark. He's got a question for D-Mace. Mark, welcome to the show. You're on 102.5 The Game.
All right. Thank you for taking my call, Darren. I wanted to ask about our kicking situation this year. Is there going to be any competition going into camp on that?
It's a good question. Remember last year, we spent a ton of time talking about the kickers, and there was a curveball there at the end, right? Sam Ficken had won the job.
Mm-hmm.
Then he got hurt.
They went
Michael Badgley, and then they finally came around to Randy Bullock, and Bullock sort of quieted everybody down. So it does look like Bullock is the guy.
Yeah.
I guess you're always wary if you're a kicker and you haven't been there for 5, 6, 7 years in the same spot.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think Bullock probably is going to keep that discussion for happening going into the season, right? There's no doubt, unless he gets hurt.
I mean, unless something catastrophic happens during camp, you know, he made 83% of his field goals, 93% of his extra points. I don't know what that ranks. Well, 83 ranked him 20th, and 93 ranked him 21st. And he had a long of 51. 20th may be too low.
I would say
in regards to field goals and extra points. But this extra point deal, I never understood.
It's a little different now.
Yeah, I never understood it. Maybe because I'm not a kicker. And it's like, okay, It's just a long. It's just a field goal. It's just a longer. It's just a field goal. So kick it as if it was a field goal. But for some reason, these guys, you see extra points being missed more often than not. You know, because you never saw, you know, regular field goals before this was implemented. You didn't see a lot of field goals missed at that range.
Well, that's why they moved it back, mm-hmm. is because it was getting so
predictable
that mm-hmm. You're kicking at 20 yards, mm-hmm. and they were virtually never missing. It was 98%, 99%. You would be really surprised if one missed. And so they wanted to make it an event. They wanted to make you earn that point. I don't know what I thought the percentage would be mm-hmm. when they moved it back to, I guess it's a 33-yarder, mm-hmm. I think is what it is now. But it stands to reason you're going to miss occasionally. You're still not going to miss very often. So you better be making well over 90%. But there are those that it's just not a gimme, which yeah. I guess is the purpose of the rule. And maybe it even encourages you to go for two a little bit more, which is probably a good thing. Mm-hmm. More teams are doing that, depending on the situation. There's more two-point conversions being tried, maybe partially because it's not a given anymore. So I've come around to that rule, you know, earn the extra point.
Yeah.
Make it something. Also, what we found is percentage of field goals made has gone up steadily over the last 20, 25, 30 years. You go way back into like the late 70s, 80s. If you were hitting 60% mm-hmm. of your field goals, you were doing pretty well. Depending yeah. on it all depends on how, you know, how long is the field goal mm-hmm. on average. Or if everyone you tried was 55 yards, obviously your percentage is not going to be the same as if everybody tried just 25 yards. But 83% is about league average there. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the Titans have got to be – it looks pretty good because for years they were below league average.
Yeah.
Right? Gostkowski had his problems, right? His percentage was a lot lower than that. They tried all kinds of different people for different reasons. So just to have some stability there for Bullock is interesting. I mean, it's crazy how little we've talked about it compared to last year when that's all we talked about.
Yeah, because it got to a point where it started to affect games.
Big time.
You know, and
it's a mental weight on a team, right? Hey, are we sure who's our kicker? Mm-hmm. What have we got when he goes out there? You know,
Confidence. Hold your breath.
Yes.
And wait. To whereas now they got Randy Bullock. I mean, he's been a good kicker in this league with the Titans. Unless something catastrophic happens, or, you know, I'm sure they will have another kicker in camp.
Sure.
Just for always bring one the in. Purpose of him not having to take on the load. But say if this young guy, whoever it is, comes and shows that, you know, he can be the next, you know, I don't know, was Jan Stenerou or
yeah,
I Gary went way
Anderson,
back.
Morton Anderson,
yeah. Gary Anderson.
You went way back. Jan yes. Stenerou was one of the first great ones for sure.
So if he proves they can be that type of place kicker, then yeah, that's when you keep him on a team, and you know Randy Bullock has to find another team. But yeah. I don't think that will be the case.
No news is good news on that one. It's amazing. We did some things last year, like study. We debated, you know, what's the best way to get a kicker? Should you actually draft a kicker? Mm-hmm. We did a percentage of how many kickers were drafted, how many kickers were on their second or third team. It's crazy. I don't know. And I think our conclusion was there is no set way to come up with a kicker.
Nah.
There's no perfect way. Otherwise, everybody would do it. But there seems to be like this musical chairs. Sometimes guys bounce around before they fit with a team. They hit the first couple big ones. They get more confident. The teams get more confident in them, and they stick for a while. So hopefully that will be the case with Bullock because it took a while to get to him. That'll be a trivia question someday. Name all these kickers that kicked for the Titans over the last 2 or 3 years. Holy
it's been a lot
cow.
Of them.
Woo. All right, real quick.
Uh-huh.
Kevin Durant. Yeah. Big, big story right now. The Celtics looking at Kevin Durant. Now, the Celtics just went to the NBA final. They lost mm-hmm. to the Warriors. Kevin Durant obviously put it out there he'd like to be traded. A lot of people were starting to lean back the other way that the Brooklyn Nets were just going to keep him. They didn't have any choice. They're not going to get anything back. But imagine if you're the Celtics, mm-hmm. D-Mace. You just looked on the screen as I did. Speculation, Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, two key cogs who the Nets are asking back. Look, if we're going to give you Kevin Durant, you got to give us back something. First of all, these two teams are both in the East and play each other a lot. But how would you feel if you're the Celtics or if you're Jaylen Brown, you're like, wait a minute. We just got to the final. We need to add some. You're going to trade me?
Yeah, you got to feel a certain way. You got to be in your feelings if that comes out. But then you understand, you know the business. Things like this can happen. Guys that were more established than Jaylen Brown, they've been traded before, so it's not like you're exempt from being traded. But if I'm Smart and Brown, I'm like, listen, we showed up in the finals. It was Jason Tatum that didn't show up in the finals. He's the one that showed up maybe one or two games in a final.
Right. And that's the guy that the Celtics are saying, exactly, we're not trading Jason Tatum, even though he didn't.
And I get why they don't want to trade him. I wouldn't trade him either, but I wouldn't trade away Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart. I would have to keep Marcus Smart because he's the engine that sort of makes that thing run because of and he's their point guard, like point shooting guard, whatever they call him. And he's the best defensive player they've got. He's the reigning defensive player of the year. And you want to get rid of him? Nah. I don't think they want to get rid of him. I think New Jersey was like, listen.
Brooklyn
Nets.
Used to be New Jersey.
Yeah. I said Brooklyn is like, listen, we want Marcus Smart too. Y'all, this deal ain't working out if you don't give us Marcus Smart. Because they know the value of Marcus Smart.
Yep. Kevin Durant, 33 years old, 4 years left on his contract. That will be interesting. How long can he stay at the top tier of NBA superstars? Something to keep your eye on. All right, when we come back, George Plaster is going to join us. We'll celebrate Mark Howard, our good friend who passed away yesterday. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Game, 102.5, 106.3, and, of course, The Game Nashville app.